Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm really, really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Emlyn Chant, author of a teen young adult book titled Farsighted. As well, I have helping me 13-year-old book reviewer Chandler Dixon. It's always a pleasure to have someone from the target age group online because we get into some very, very interesting conversations. And today we're going to be talking about things like psychic powers, bullying, homeschooling, and multicultures. Both Emlyn and Chandler have much, much to contribute, so be sure you stay tuned. But before I chat with them, I'd like you to know a little bit about Emlyn. Emlyn Chant has always loved to hear and tell stories. Having emerged from the womb with a fountain pen grasped firmly in her left hand, and she says this is a true story. Well, okay. But when she's not writing, she runs a large book club in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is the president of author PR firm Novel Publicity. Emlyn loves to connect with readers, and it's available through the social media interweb. Hi, Emlyn.
Hello.
Hi, Chandler.
Hi.
Gosh, it's great to have you both online with me talking, and it's really gives me a big pleasure to have Chandler with us because, gosh, it's not too often we get a teen to help out, and especially when it comes to a children's book. Emlyn, first of all, I want you to go ahead and just give us a brief synopsis on your book and so that our listeners kind of know what Farsighted is about, and then we can get into talking about all the good stuff.
Sure. Well, Farsighted is a young adult novel, and it's about a boy named Alex who's been blind since birth, and he's growing up in a small Midwestern town. And the story is told in first-person perspective, so since Alex doesn't see, the reader doesn't see, and we get the picture through our other senses. And Alex is very lonely in his small town because he's different, he's bullied, he's a bit of an outcast. But then this new student, Simi, moves into town from India, and he's just immediately attracted to her. She smells great. She has a beautiful voice. She's something different, and she's actually nice to him. But Alex begins to develop psychic powers where he can sense the future, and it's quite embarrassing because sometimes he doesn't know whether something's really happening or if it's just a vision. But pretty soon, the visions start to suggest that Simi might be murdered. So he has to learn how to cope with his powers and how to use them to prevent Simi's death, all the while kind of falling in love a little bit.
Did someone give you the inspiration for Simi? She's such a big character in the story. It seems like it would be hard for her to be completely made up.
Well, like Alex, I'm also attracted to people from the Indian subcontinent. My husband's from New Delhi. So I met him 7 years ago. We've been married 4 years. And I'm just so inspired by India, by the culture. And my husband is also from Delhi, just like Simi. He's also a Punjabi like Simi. But Simi is a Sikh, which is a different religion. So I had to learn a lot about that religion. And I just had fun because I want to be able to infuse multiculturalism into YA. And I just love the Indian culture, so it seemed like a good one to do it with.
Cool.
Well, let's talk a little bit about multiculturalism. And I'm assuming that you are not from India, that you are born in the United States and not of Indian culture. Is that correct?
Yes, like Alex, I'm from a small, boring Midwestern town where nothing ever happens.
Isn't that funny? So you created happening in a book. So tell me a little bit about the multiculture and your experiences of all of a sudden here you are, you know, from this boring little town and meeting somebody from another country and marrying somebody with a different culture. And as we know, many of the Indian cultures are different, and, you know. So
yes.
What's your experience?
Well, there's just something that's different within me, and I've always been attracted to other cultures. I grew up in a small town called Oxford, Michigan, and almost everyone was white, and then most of my friends were not white. Like, I just enjoyed hanging out with people who had different backgrounds and learning from them. And part of the reason I think this is, I had two early influences, which will seem really silly, but when I was, 7, 8, I loved Saved by the Bell, and I had a huge crush on Slater, Mario Lopez, who was Hispanic. And then later on, when I was in fourth grade, the movie Aladdin came out, Disney's Aladdin, and I loved that movie. So I just got really entranced by, you know, other cultures that seemed so exotic and wanted to learn about them whenever I could. And, you know, I met my husband. He was the right person for me. And I just started learning about his culture, and I've kind of adopted into it. I've been to India twice for a total of 9 weeks. I was married there with a 3-day Hindu ceremony, and it's just so exciting just learning about other cultures and having that experience. It's kind of like traveling while staying at home.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it, traveling while staying at home. Gosh, you had mentioned that your main character had psychic powers, and I know that Chandler is really interested in that. And go ahead, Chandler, and ask her your question.
I never thought about psychic powers and runes going together. Why did you use them together, and is there any particular reason?
Yes, okay, thank you. Well, so as for psychic powers, basically the whole idea for Farsighted started with a single image. I'm a really bad driver because I daydream. So my husband was driving the car, and we were going across the state. And I was sitting there daydreaming as usual, and I noticed my reflection in the car side mirror. I was wearing these huge glasses, and I thought, oh, I look like a blind person. But then I saw my reflection, and I could see everything that was going on outside in my glasses. And I thought, that's funny. You know, I look blind, but here's this image in my eye. And at the time, I was reading The Odyssey again for book club, and I was reminded of Tiresias from Greek lore. He's a blind prophet, too, that helps Odysseus in the underworld. He's also in the story of Oedipus Rex. And I thought, you know, there's all these vampires and wizards and things going on. Why hasn't anybody redone Tiresias? So I started from there. And so, of course, Alex was my blind psychic, and I didn't want him to be alone in the psychic world. So I created powers for each of the other characters as well. Now, as for the runes, that was kind of just because I'm a math geek. I have a master's in quantitative sociology. I love statistics. I love things to be organized. And going into Farsighted, I was thinking, you know, where is this going? Where is this going? And I started to learn about the runes, which are a psychic thing because they're a divination tool, much like tarot cards or the zodiac. And the runes, if set in a particular order, they tell the story of the hero's journey. So each prophecy at the beginning of a chapter is what a particular rune means. And then I worked to structure the chapter around the rune. So I thought they went nicely together, especially since Alex is blind, but he can feel the rune because they are engraved, so he doesn't need his sight to use that device.
Did you spend a lot of time thinking about the different psychic powers the different people in your story should have?
I did. I spent about a month before I started writing just reading tons of books about psychic powers and about world mythology and folklore, superstition. I studied a lot of different religions as well. And I spent that month, and I started actually having a lot of nightmares because it was, some of the stuff was very scary. I read the full prophecies of Nostradamus, and that really freaked me out. And eventually, after about a month, I stopped having nightmares, and that's when I knew this world well enough to write about it without holding back because of fear.
Is that why Alex had nightmares?
Yes, Alex and I definitely have some crossover. He's not based on me, but Monster Energy Drink, I've had some of those experiences that Alex has later in the story, too.
That's very interesting.
Are you psychic?
No, I'm not psychic, although I often joke that I'm psychic, but only when in India, because I make silly little things. I say, today I'm going to ride on a camel. And then I do. And, you know, obviously that could be a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I say, you know, I have psychic powers when I'm in India because I quit talking so much and I just pay attention and I'm able to figure things out. But I don't really believe in psychic.
You did a lot of research, you said, and so I just wondered, when you were researching the runes, is this something that you actually had knowledge of before and experience with runes, or is this something that just came up when in the research?
Oh, not at all. It's very new to me. Part of the research, I learned how to cast runes, and I learned how to do a Celtic cross tarot spread. So I can now I can use the tarot and the runes to, you know, make prophecies or whatever. But before, I absolutely had no knowledge. I come from a very conservative family, and they're really against these types of psychic devices. And actually, when I came to visit my mom, I had my runes and tarot deck with me, and she said, get them out of my house. So I put them back in my car, so absolutely so new. And I think that's why I had a lot of nightmares at first, even though I'm not a scaredy cat. But, you know, it was just something really different from what I was raised.
The let's talk about bullies. That seems to be the big thing, you know, right now in the news. I mean, we're just, over the past couple of years, we've been talking a lot about bullies in schools. And also, you know, the suicides have been happening because of bullying. And when, you know, I kind of think back, and we almost it seems like it's such a new concept, but it really isn't. I think it's only new because we finally have the courage to talk about it.
Right. Well, when I was in high school, I graduated in 2002. My freshman year, somebody in my class did commit suicide because of bullying. And it was said for a while that my hometown, despite its small size, was the suicide capital of America. I don't think it still is, but I was growing up with that. And I just remember how horrible it was. And to think that somebody could be so mean to somebody else because it's funny to them and actually in that person's life. Because I feel like it's more like murder than suicide when somebody's driven, especially somebody so young.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I've wanted to talk about openly and to just show that, you know, the bullied person can take power back without it being unbelievable. There are small things you can do to take the power back. And that's, you know, that was a big part of Farsighted for me.
Chandler, have you always been homeschooled or have you ever gone to a public school?
I have never been to a public school myself.
So
went to a private Montessori school for a few years, but after that I've been homeschooled the rest of my life.
So what is your experience of bullying?
Well, the only true experience I think I may have had was on a few soccer teams and basketball teams, since there isn't especially any specific leagues for homeschoolers in our area. They tended to out make me the outcast because I was just different. They'd question me on, you know, what I knew, and they'd give me math problems. And the kids themselves, they may or may have not known that stuff, but at that time, that stuff was, you know, really intimidating to me. But now I tell them that they're all jealous. Because they've got loads of homework every night, and I don't.
You don't?
So what do they say when you stand up to them and say those things?
Which particular things?
Do they stop bullying then or saying those things when you actually have that answer?
Answer to what?
You said that you tell them that they have homework and you don't. And does that kind of stop everything at that time?
Well, actually, I don't tell them that, but they...
You say it to yourself?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So it doesn't...
They already know it.
It doesn't bother you as much when you're able to make that excuse in your head. You feel better and you're not as hurt by the things they say or annoyed.
Yeah, and as I get older, they tend to gravitate away from that just because not more so that I'm unusual, it's more so that I don't have as much schoolwork to do, and I have more free time, and every kid my age wishes for that, to be able to do their own thing.
That's a good attitude, and, you know, that's part of what I tried to show in Farsighted, too, is just taking the power away from the bullies. And another big part of bullying, for me, a lot of people pay attention to the active, cruel gestures that some kids make to other kids as bullying, but another way to be bullied is to be ostracized and ignored.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's worse. And that's my personal experience with bullying. I did not have friends until I was in the fourth grade, and it was very hard as a young child not to have any friends.
You know, and I can really relate to that, too, because I was put into a school that I did not speak English. There was no kindergarten at my I'm 65 years old, so I'm going back to an area also that didn't have such a thing as kindergarten or preschool or any of that. I just went straight into grade one, and I did not know English because English was not a language that we spoke at home. And I, too, was being ignored and ostracized because I didn't fit in, and mine was the language barrier.
Right. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Chandler about his experience with the Montessori school. I don't imagine you ever had any issues about not fitting in or being ostracized.
Oh, no. That was probably my best experience at a school ever.
Yeah.
I took a lot from those schools, and including the question that every new kid I meet asks me when they hear me address my mom, "What do you call your mom by her name?" And I respond that in the Montessori school, you just call them by Miss and their name, or just their name.
Mm-hmm.
They're very into the down to basic stuff.
And yeah,
very good stuff.
I guess that's one of the reasons too, Emily. I don't know what your feelings are, that more and more kids are being homeschooled, as Chandler is, and I know that he takes some classes in a private school because it's very different. And these kids grow up without having to be ostracized or ignored or bullied.
Well, I actually disagree with that because uh-huh. my experience is, I didn't have friends until fourth grade when I went from private to public school. And then in sixth grade, I went back to private school, and again, I was more of an outcast. But then I went back to public school and had friends again.
Isn't it interesting how your experience is so different from Chandler's?
Yeah.
So I guess
we didn't have Montessori or magnet schools that I remember
uh-huh.
when I was growing. I mean, I grew up in the 90s, so it wasn't that long ago.
Right.
But
I imagine it depends on the area, and I'm thinking Austin here, where Chandler also lives in this area, that, gosh, there seems to be a Montessori school or, something similar almost in every corner. There are a lot of them. So I imagine it depends on the area and the size of the population, too.
Sure.
And Austin, too, is very open to new ideas and very innovative when it comes.
Yeah.
They're especially welcome, things like that.
Exactly.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Emlyn Shond, author of Farsighted, and helping me, as you have heard so far, is 13-year-old Chandler Dixon. We've really delved into some very interesting conversations, and stay tuned because there's just so much more to come from these two. So, Chandler, I'm going to just ask something, too, because we talked earlier with Emlyn about different cultures, and I would like to know what your experience is with having different cultures in the community.
Well, I've had some experiences with different cultures via the soccer team.
Uh-huh.
I went on with one of our local leagues, and when they do the whole kind of draft thing, and I got picked to go with this coach. His name was Greg Zavala, and he was the best coach I've ever had, and I stayed with him for as long as I could.
Uh-huh.
And their family wasn't as well off as some, and neither were a lot of the other Mexican, American, Hispanic people on that team were. And so that really kind of gave me a new view onto how people from different cultures and different budgets can still get along and win championships and just do really well together.
And that's, you know, what you're just saying, Chandler, that's a really good example for, you know, going onto a soccer team like you did. And I know there are so many different cultures that do participate in on one team, so this is really great to have that experience. So I imagine then you related, when you were reading Farsighted by Emlyn, that there was, you know, you were able to understand some of the aspects.
Yes, yes. And also, something, Emily, you might know, is that I love Indian food. That's the food I could ever eat.
Well, if you're ever in Michigan, I love to cook Indian in India, so I can make you some real authentic food.
That sounds
What's your
great.
Favorite dish? What's your favorite dish, Chandler?
Well, I don't always know what they are, but I like anything that I can eat with the kale fried with the garbanzo bean flour. I love that stuff.
Oh.
Wow. A 13-year-old like kale? I can't believe this. That's great.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Thai food. So maybe I'll write a Thai character one day.
So also in your book, you talk about dreams, hanging on to your dreams, regardless of what they are. And so let's just talk about hanging on to dreams and manifesting them. What are your suggestions, Emlyn?
Yes. You know, growing up, as I mentioned, I didn't have a lot of friends when I was, you know, before fourth grade. And even when I did have friends, I've always been kind of a weirdo. I'm a very creative daydreamer type, and you know, I'm definitely different. I don't have athletic ability, which is not the best thing when you're going through high school. But, you know, even though I probably could have fit in better had I conformed more or, you know, tried a little bit harder to learn how to play sports, everybody thought I should be a basketball star because I'm 5'10". But that doesn't mean I can catch the ball if you throw it at me. But, you know, I just held on to who I was, and that's really, really hard to do when you're growing up. But, you know, now I'm 26, and, you know, I've written my first novel, which just came out, Farsighted, and I own my own business, which is, you know, doing much better for me than when I had a quote-unquote day job. And people think it's crazy. Oh, you're going to start your own business? Yeah, that's going to succeed. But you know what? I did it anyway, and, yeah, I was scared, but I did it. And now I have the life I want to live, not the life I'm told I'm supposed to live. And I think that's very important, to never lose who you are, no matter what peer pressure says.
Oh, well said. Chandler, do you have anything to add to that, peer pressure?
Since I've been homeschooled, not much. The only peer pressure, as I've said before, I've really experienced was on soccer, basketball teams, just because when I was younger, you know, 10, 11, those ages, people really try and kind of single each other out and make their little groups. And that was those times on those teams when I really felt that pressure to be normal and not be totally just kind of put out.
Whatever normal is, you know. Yeah. Peer groups do seem to create what they assume is normal. And each peer group definitely creates a different normal, don't they?
Yes, yes.
And the horrible thing when I was growing up, and it's probably still the case, is that it's not cool to be smart. And I was a spelling bee champion, so I was really, really dorky and studious. Always been a bookworm. Read 2 books a day, even at 7 years old. Not little books, like the Babysitter's Club style books. Because I didn't have friends, so I read. And then I was winning the spelling bees and getting good grades and being teacher's pet. If I knew the answer, I want to share the answer because I really enjoy learning because, like I said, I'm a dork. And that was so not cool. My younger brother also, he's extremely intelligent. He used to be picked on because he was too smart. And I find that boys are more physically violent in bullying than girls are. Girls say words and attack the core of who you are, but boys will do that and punch you in the face.
Yeah.
So my brother's experience was, in that way, worse than mine. But have you found that it's uncool to be smart, Chandler?
Well, in the homeschooling world, it's very cool to be smart. I have kids that have gone to state geography bees, and including one has gone on a science competition, has gone to nationals and received second place. So when you're homeschooled, there's a lot of kids that don't necessarily have some skills, but in some things they exceed tremendously, and that's kind of the difference when you're homeschooling. Instead of being maybe all around at something, you kind of exceed at one thing and excel at one thing, and you know, maybe not do not so good at one thing. I myself, I love to read, and when I used, well, when basketball was in season, I bring a book to read before practice, and so, you know, they all look at me like, you know, what are you doing with the book? I mean, it's right before practice, you know, especially when I'm texting on their cell phones or, you know, running around before practice, and I'm sitting there reading a book. So, you know,
if you ask the sample of the three of us, I think we'll all agree that reading is cool.
Yes, it is, and it's okay to be a dork.
It pays off when you're out of high school.
Yes,
it's definitely good. It's
yes,
smart.
Yes.
So Chandler, if you had to choose, if you were, you know, you went back in time, and with knowing what you know now, you were able to decide if you wanted to be homeschooled or go to public or private school, would you still choose to be homeschooled?
Yeah, I'd still choose to be homeschooled. I think the atmosphere, from what I've experienced being on soccer teams and basketball teams and just knowing some people in public school, I think the atmosphere there is a lot more hostile and a lot more, with schoolwork at least, get it done or fail. When you're homeschooling, you have a lot more flexibility with schoolwork. You have a lot more free time. And there's also the co-ops. And when a whole bunch of homeschoolers get together and everybody pitches in and creates suggestions for classes and then they put it into action, there's some really cool stuff happening as far as how the homeschooling community can find ways to just be normal as a homeschooled.
It seems to me like what happens, Chandler, is the way you're talking, is a whole new culture is developed. The homeschooler group becomes a culture.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny, but there's different groups. Some of them gather on Fridays to go to a park, and there's also the groups, and then there's the co-ops. The groups and the co-ops are entirely different things just because of how they're each run. It's amazing how it all works.
And it sounds like that you have the benefit of having a peer group, but you guys aren't together so often as kids who go to public or private school are together for hours a day. They are socialized to behave a certain way. You know, you see the kids older than you bullying, and then you bully, and you see this trend, and you have to conform to this trend. And you have the benefit of having that peer group without being together so much that there's pressure to take on some of these behaviors. So it sounds like a really good best of both worlds scenario.
Yeah, yeah, and some people say, you know, I used to hear this, and I still hear it, but not as often, that homeschoolers don't have any friends, or, again, on the basketball or soccer team, you have any friends. And I say, of course I do. I have tons of friends. There are people I vaguely know and people I know really well, and a lot of times I see them at least once a week, sometimes twice. It's a really cool community just to be able to see your friends once or twice a week, and, you know, life gets on, goes on. And even now when I'm going to the private school, since I only go I go on mornings on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, stay all day on Monday, but I don't have to be with those kids all the time. Not that it's not a good atmosphere. I like my teachers, you know, I like what I'm doing there, but I get lots of different experiences with lots of different kids instead of it being my whole life being all the same people.
Sure. You know, my cousins are homeschooled as well, and they have a large peer group as well because they're really into their local church. So they are doing, like, drama, and they're part of this band, and they get to play music, and they get to do all these things because they're so into the religious community. Do you think that homeschoolers are more religious maybe than people in public school or private school? Have you noticed any difference?
Not really. I think that there's actually a more of a variation of different religions within our group, our co-op, because when you're homeschooled, there's pretty much the place for people who don't want to be, should we say, normal. It's a place for them to go when their kid just, say, in one subject fails, but in all other subjects succeeds, and then the whole school thinks that they're not going to succeed, but actually they are excelling in everything else.
It sounds like, Chandler, you have a very good experience with being homeschooled and going to a private school for some of the classes, and I just really commend you on this. I know you do have another question about the book to Emlyn, and so go ahead and ask her at this time.
Who is most supportive of you when you are writing? Who's your main support system?
Well, my best friend, Rebecca, she's just been priceless. She reads everything I write 3 times. She reads it while I'm writing it, 1 chapter at a time, and gives me feedback, and then she reads it when I have a whole draft done. Then I'll do changes, and then she'll read it again. And I do have 7 what are called beta readers, early readers, who give advice. And I have 2 editors. So Farsight has gone through the ringer in that sense, but my best friend Rebecca is the one who's really, really there for me. And also her niece, who's 14, and also lives in Texas. She was an early reader, too, and she gave me that teen perspective. Rebecca also listens because I can talk. I love words, so I can just probably talk for 3 hours if nobody stops me. And she listens, and she doesn't complain, and she'll listen to all my harebrained ideas, give me feedback, actually show interest. And that just means so much because I know that my tendency to talk a lot really annoys some people, but she's always there for me.
Any hints about who will be narrating the next book in the series?
I can't say that. I'm trying to leave it a secret because
Emlyn.
Paranormal genre, so mystery suits it well. And I do feel like if I say who narrates it, it might give something away. But you can figure it out because the title is called Open Heart. And the other piece of information that I'm giving away is... if yes, you know that somebody different will be narrating it, but there'll be more romance. It won't be a romance genre book, but there will be more of like a boyfriend-girlfriend type of thing going on in Open Heart.
Will Alex still be in the book?
Yes. The same set of 5 main characters go throughout the entire series, 5-book series. Each character gets a book.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
And the thing I'm really excited about is with Open Heart, since Alex won't be narrating, we'll finally get to see Grandin Township and the world that these characters live in, because in Farsighted, we know what everybody sounds like, smells like, and feels like, but we don't know what people look like or what the setting looks like. So now this setting that you've come to know through the first book, all of a sudden you'll be able to see it, take the blindfold off. So I'm really excited about that. And there will definitely be some surprises about what some people look like.
I can't wait.
Yeah, this sounds really great. Emlyn, tell our listening audience your website address, please.
Sure, it's www.emlynchand.com. My name is spelled E-M-L-Y-N-C-H-A-N-D, And if you put that into a Google search engine, you'll find that I'm like on every social network imaginable because my job, I'm a social media book marketer. So, you know, you can follow me on Twitter, Google+, Facebook, wherever there's a network, I'm there. So definitely connect. I love talking with people.
Thank you so much, Evelyn. It's been a real pleasure for me to talk to you and listen. And having Chandler on to help me has just been a real thrill, too, because he has added so much to this. Thank you, Chandler.
Oh, you're welcome.
I agree. Thank you, Chandler.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed reading the book, and I enjoyed talking with you.
Aw, thank you.
Well, I'm sure we're going to get to do this again, Chandler. Thank you so much. And listeners, there you have. We just talked about all kinds of things, the homeschooling, bullies, psychic powers, runes, you name it. It's all things that you can find in this book. And as you have heard, our 13-year-old reviewer, Chandler, loves the book and is even looking forward to the next one because he's already asking for it. So I do encourage you to check it out. Again, it's Farsighted. It's a teen, young adult book, and it's a really good book. The author is Emlyn Shawn, as you have heard so far. So, again, her website address is emlynshand.com. It's emlynshand.com. Check it out. Her book is available in on online sellers, and you can certainly find it through your local bookstore, too. Again, it's Farsighted. Thanks again, Emlyn, and thanks again, Chandler. Thanks, listeners. This is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop Live. Bye for now.